You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Victory is mine. Great day in the morning, people. Victory is mine. Morning.
Thank you, Josh. 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, the second day of April, the first day of no political ads during commercial breaks, and the first day of some renewed hope across Wisconsin. There it is. There it is. As Susan Crawford wins handily. Wins a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and Jill Underley wins a second term at the Department of Public Instruction. And Greg Bach is standing by down at Radio Park, and I want him to make sure he gets credit from Tony here on YouTube. Congratulations on your victory, Pat and Greg. You did it. Yesterday, you convinced everyone a must-win would mean more political ads. So I think legally, you get 90% of the credit. 5% credit to Crawford, and obviously 5% credit to my sarcastic comments. Good job all around. Yes, works just fine. But the by the way, let's just get this out of the way. The boo birds are starting good and early here. Where again, I love this comment. I remember this from 2020. There isn't one person I know personally who voted for her or who will ever vote for a Democrat again. If you don't know anybody that voted for somebody from the other party, you live in a bubble. Get out more.
Pat, can I would really love to give my response. Can you read that? Can you read that again for me? Just it's a great day in America. Can you read that for me?
There isn't one person I know personally who voted for her or who will ever vote for a Democrat.
All right. So what? I don't care.
Here's a nice evil maniacal laugh over there. Here's the important thing about that, okay? For everything that you would want that people would want to say about Brad Schimmel, he conceded, he called to congratulate Susan Crawford on the win and said I heard him say the words to his supporters, we have to accept the results.
Thank you. I
still waiting on Eric Hovde to say the same thing.
still waiting for Donald Trump 2020. Thank you, Brad Schimmel, for doing that, for being an example that you can run, and I didn't like the campaign you run. I will say that first and foremost. But at the end of the day, you did lose, and you conceded, and you're walking away. That is, unfortunately, that's the low bar, but you crossed it, friend.
No, I've lost two elections. I've had to make, and I made those phone calls. I'll tell you, making that call to Sean Duffy, not easy, but you do it. It's what you do. In America, it's what you do in a democracy.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, here, before we even congratulate Susan Crawford, congratulations, Brad Schimmel, on doing the right thing.
Yes.
That's where the bar is today. Yep. So I normally start by saying I got a question for you. So I'm going to go with this. Here's my question. Aren't you proud? You should be. You should. All of you. You too, Mr. Bach. Should be proud because, again, we're going to talk all about the results, what these all mean, and to not read too much into any one thing, okay? It's not a blue wave, you know, it's nothing like that. It's not like 2026 won't be on a completely different plane, but for what this race was, and especially what it became when it became nationalized, I mean, folks should be proud that they did say, I don't know that I would normally turn out and vote for this, but we're not going to let a billionaire, you know, run our elections this way.
Yep.
So good for folks doing that.
Yeah.
Along the way. I'm sorry.
That's for me, you know, that's the biggest takeaway is that Wisconsin is not for sale. And I hope that other states that honestly, it sounds weird to say this out loud, and I'm sure it sounds ridiculous to maybe a few, but even the states that voted for Trump, I still want them to reject the mere notion that a guy can walk in and be like, well, you voted for us anyways, but you're going to, you know what I mean? Like still use more money and influence because he thinks he can. Vote how you want, but push away the billionaires who think that this just belongs to them.
Yes. If you'd like to react throughout the course of the show here, you can call or text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use the Civic Media app to text us. You're going to need it less than an hour from now to text us the keyword in the Break Into Spring Text to Win contest. And, of course, like Tony does regularly on YouTube, you can put comments on the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page as well. As in terms of the results, right now, with 95% of precincts reporting Susan Crawford leads Brad Schimmel, basically 55-45, just short of 1.3 million votes to 1 million votes even. And here's the thing you need to know about that. In four of the last five Supreme Court elections, the results are kind of interesting, or shall we say coincidental. Let's see, I have them in front of me here someplace. Here we go. We had in 2018, Rebecca Dallet won her race, 55-44. In 2020, Jill Karofsky beat Dan Kelly, 55-44. In 2023, Janet Protasiewicz again defeated Dan Kelly, 55-44. And now this race is looking like it's on its way to being 55-44. The only blip in all of that was in 2019, when Brian Hagedorn defeated Lisa Neubauer. And there, the margin was less than a percentage point in that particular race back in 2019. And so, you know, this is not an anomaly in terms of Supreme Court elections where, again, you don't have a party label. When you have a party label, some folks who might, you know, consider themselves progressive or lean progressive, but they don't consider themselves Democrats. And so, I mean, if this were a partisan election, I think the results would have been a lot closer. I think it would have been more like, you know, 51-49. But you notice this in other states, Greg, that when they put like Medicaid expansion on the ballot or abortion rights on the ballot, it doesn't have a party label on it, but these things pass.
Yeah.
Because people, by and large, have progressive values. It's just when you slip into party politics that some folks kind of, you know, fall off the range.
And the question I have is, like, you know, Brad Schimmel, to his admittance, started running pretty much the moment that Janet Protasiewicz won. Threw his hat in the ring. No other right-leaning candidate got in. They were kind of clearing the way for him. And they thought, okay, if he just runs from now until 2025, we should be good. And he kind of ran under the radar just doing the thing you're supposed to do, which is going out to the events, meeting people, shaking hands, talking, that kind of thing. And it was when the light started to be shown on him and he really sidled up hard. Like, I tried to say this on Matt and Aaron Air, but like Musk was going to do what he wanted to do regardless. He was going to put the money in. He was going to, you know, they were going to do their thing. And Brad Schimmel could have run his campaign saying, they'll put their money in, but I'm running as this candidate full steam ahead. But I really feel like the moment he really started hooking his caboose to their train is when it started to go bad for him, because he just started to show that the ugly side of the MAGA America, and he embraced it. And people were like, I don't know if I want that in the courtroom.
They don't. And look, again, it's so disingenuous. Not just people that go, I don't know anybody that voted for her, or it's all paid for by, you know, George Soros. And then, you know, you see I'm already seeing the comments as well. Oh, you mean she was elected by Madison and Milwaukee? Honest to goodness, people, open up another tab, go to any election results. I'm looking at one of the maps right now. Let me count the number of counties that went to Susan Crawford for you.
Yeah.
Yep, there's Milwaukee, there's Dane. So that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22. 22 counties. Are they 22 populous counties? Nope, not all of them. And land doesn't vote.
Yes.
There are a lot of people living in cities, hence the term cities. They're there, and they all vote, and they all count. And when the votes were counted, people went the way that they did. And so stop with the, you know, well, their zip code is different from mine, so I don't want to accept the results. Accept it, folks. I mean, that's what you told us in November, right?
I mean,
you know,
That's not
that's what we do in a democracy. We accept the results. We may not like them, and we move on. So stop with the tantrums and move on. All right, let me do some weather really quick here before I forget, because we also have some nice sports news to pass along. Governor Tony Evers has declared a state of emergency for the areas that were severely damaged in an ice storm a few days ago. That declaration will help ensure that state agencies, local partners, utilities, and emergency management officials can continue working together and respond quickly to damage caused by the recent severe weather. Brittany Merlot's state forecast says that after snow just swept through the state, now severe thunderstorms are possible in the south. The spring roller coaster ride will finally give us a break after today. Looking at the radar right now, there are some pretty heavy rain and perhaps thunderstorms through the southern middle third of the state, and widespread rain or light snow in the southern half of Wisconsin right now. The forecast calls for a wintry mix up north, turning to rain, periods of rain and thunderstorms in southern Wisconsin, breezy, a little warmer. Some thunderstorms in southern Wisconsin could be severe this afternoon. Highs up north in the upper 30s, in southern Wisconsin in the lower 60s. A southwest wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour. For tonight, scattered showers early, then variably cloudy and breezy. Lows near 30 up north, mid-30s in southern Wisconsin, and a west wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. And again, Brittany will be here with more forecast details coming up at about 7:07. In our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We've got, of course, coverage of the election results and also a story about ballpark food. And how the cuisine at American Family Field rates, some of the good stuff that you can get there. Speaking of the Brewers, Eric Haas and Christian Yelich hit solo home runs, backing a strong start by new pitcher Chad Patrick. And the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Kansas City Royals 5-0 last night for their first win of the season. They will next play this afternoon. We got a matinee game, Brewers versus Kansas City. Coverage starts at 11:35 this morning on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the Civic Media app and the Civic Media website to learn more. And the Bucks shot 69% from the floor, 51 of their 73 shots, to set a franchise record for highest percentage of shots made. So some good precise shooting from the Bucks last night to help them beat the Phoenix Suns 133-123. For Coach Doc Rivers, it gave him a career win total of 1,155 coaching wins, tying Phil Jackson for seventh place all time in NBA history regular season wins. And the Bucks will be at Philadelphia on Thursday. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Okay, Frida Payne is not really part of today's history lesson, but that's a bit of a tease how she weaves in with somebody else in today's history lesson. You're going to have to stick around for another half hour to find out more here on Up North News Radio. We also tell you what's on the national day calendar, and I'm just going to jump on one of them now because it's still one of my favorite stories, Greg. Today is National Ride Your Horse to a Bar Day, and I only say that because one evening at the sandbar here on Lake Wissota, this was many, many years ago, but boy, there were two women there. They were whooping it up. They were just having the best time, and it turns out they answered the question that we had first walking into the place. Why are there two horses hitched up outside the bar, which, you know, 100 years ago was a regular scene at a bar in Wisconsin. Not so much now. So it was a nice little novelty, and good on them. Which takes me to this other story about horses at a bar. I was doing some genealogy research, again, many years ago, trying to figure out where the whole Kreitlow family tree is. And a lot of it is in places just west of the Twin Cities, a place called Montrose, Minnesota. And I actually found some relatives out there that I did not know about, like second cousins and things. Saw where my, what would it be, great-great-great or great-great-grandfather lived. And they talked about, one of the stories that still gets told around town was, you know, he'd like to have a little barley pop or two when he was out on the town. He'd go into town, you know, in his horse-drawn wagon and have a couple. And I guess one night he had a little too much. And so basically his buddies poured him into the wagon, slapped the horse on the backside, and the horse knew right where to go. The horse found its way home.
Wow.
And I'm like, maybe that's that would take care of a lot of issues if we just let the horses drive us home.
I agree with that.
Night, you know?
And have its own horse lane. Like, you know, you make its own horse road. Yes. That we didn't worry about cars, don't have to worry about anybody else. This is the dedicated horse road for transportation of those who need transportation.
There you go.
I think, you know, I'm going to call Sean Duffy. We could do this like nationwide.
Secretary of Transportation could get us horse lanes for when we need a ride home. That's
yes.
Our new sober cab. We were going to have Congressman Mark Pocan on the show, but due to somebody else's temper tantrum, we've had to move it to Friday. Allow me to explain while Greg Buck gets the crying baby sound effect ready to go.
Thank you.
You see, there are these people in the House of Representatives who are rather bipartisan on some matters. One of the matters deals with working moms and a proposal that would allow House members who are new parents to vote by proxy, you know, meaning that they don't have to be on the floor of the House. They can submit their vote another way. And this is something that's been done before. It was done during COVID when you couldn't have gatherings. So it's proven to work. It's proven to be safe. But Mike Johnson doesn't like it. So Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, Republican from Louisiana, did not want it to come up for a vote. But along came a bipartisan group of members led by Florida Republican Representative Anna Luna to force a vote on the matter. So she put in what's called a discharge petition, which forces a vote if it gets a majority. And the speaker can't stop that kind of a vote. They held the vote, and 9 Republicans crossed over, voted with Democrats to say, hey, we want to vote on this rule that helps working moms and new dads to vote by proxy. It should get its own up or down vote, is all that they were trying to say. What did Mike Johnson do? He sent everybody home. He ended the business for the week. So your taxes are paying for members of Congress who are flying home today or last night, the way that Mark Pocan is, which is why Mark Pocan isn't going to join us today. He's going to join us on Friday. He's going to be part of our week in review panel Friday during the 7 a.m. hour. So that'll be really nice. And I'm sure that Mike Johnson, or he'll have some words on what Mike Johnson had to say about this. Actually, I believe we now have that soundbite from Mike Johnson about working moms and whether he supports them or not. There it is. Yep. I mean, what kind of weirdos don't have enough respect for working moms to do something that incredibly basic? Look, I don't think this is bringing some kind of disrespect to Congress that you don't have to be on the floor. That's not what this is about at all.
We were talking about this, Jay and I, off air, and I feel like there should be proxy votes for all these situations. Like, are you homesick? You should get a proxy vote. Your vote should be heard, and you shouldn't be, if you can't be there, that doesn't mean you can't vote. This is kind of ridiculous. Also, very ridiculous from the pro-family party.
Yes.
Very ridiculous.
These are the little basic things that you can do. And again, I know Donald Trump's not looking for free advice from me, but you know, when you kept talking about Infrastructure Week, you could have put forward a plan. There could be a bipartisan infrastructure plan. And I say that because of what today is in Donald Trump's world. Donald Trump keeps referring to today as Liberation Day, when all it really is, it's not liberation, it's Inflation Day. It's the day that he's going to announce new tariffs on some of our closest allies and trading partners to further drive a wedge and to further drive up prices and to drive up unemployment in this country. And yet there are some news outlets out there that are still going along with the whole Liberation Day theme. Again, I would remind you, if you're buying into Liberation Day, you probably also bought into Infrastructure Week, even though nothing came of that. Then there was Repeal and Replace. Remember that one? Great slogan. Tried to repeal, had no replacement. We can go back even further to Read My Lips from George H.W. Bush. So don't fall for the marketing gimmick. Go for what the results actually are, or what the results are most likely to be. When you're covering somebody like a president who's all good with the slogans, but get to the impact. What does it mean to real folks? Which is what's going to take us into our climate check here. And then we'll get back into talking about, you know, the news of the day. I wish I had better news on the climate check front. But as we look at what, you know, the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency is doing, when we look at a former environmental lawyer like Robert Kennedy Jr., and how he's just standing by watching, you know, the decimation of environmental regulations, it's a little bit puzzling. But Melissa Baldoff and I then look for the silver lining, and we find it closer to our own hometowns. So stick around for all that. Today's history lesson, and then in our second hour, Todd Alba joins me, and we'll break down more of last night's election results, the wins for Susan Crawford and Jill Underley, and what partial results we have on school referendums. All that after this. You're up north. All right, welcome back. We will continue our coverage of election results coming up in just a bit here on Up North News Radio, but it is Wednesday morning, so we want to talk a bit about a changing climate and what kinds of things can be done about it, especially in the political climate that we have these days. And Melissa Baldoff is here to talk to us about it, as always. Melissa, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks. How about you?
Fine as well, thanks. We are going to be talking about people involved in our climate. And part of me wishes we maybe had a psychiatrist with us for this particular segment, because we're going to be talking about people who are playing a central role in the Trump administration, who are not today what they used to be back in the day. We have talked about Lee Zeldin before and running, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency, and talked as if, you know, he's always been this way. And we were looking at a press biography about him, and it really made clear that much like so much of what we see on the far right, doesn't it strike you as a lot of this is prompted by personal opportunism rather than some kind of a natural change of heart, whether you're looking at this Lee Zeldin one or Robert Kennedy Jr. or any of them like that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if you were going to put a brand on the Trump administration writ large, it could be personal opportunism. So it fits that that some of these folks that we're seeing step into these roles. And I would say, you know, some, you know, sycophants and, you know, true believers that have been, you know, by Trump's side since day one. But over and over again, we're seeing this conversion of people who, you know, used to be more moderate, used to, you know, respect the Constitution and have some, you know, a backbone and have some, you know, a moral center. You know, you've seen people like, you know, Marco Rubio selling out for Trump. You know, it's just it's a pattern, right? And clearly it's because they see something in it for themselves to enrich themselves.
It goes right to the top. Donald Trump was thought of for the longest time as, you know, if not a liberal Democrat, certainly a moderate, somebody who was very pro-abortion rights, for example. And then came that conversion that we've seen with so many of the uncles in our family and other things like that. So, you know, a lot of what has appeared to motivate Trump over the years has been, first, it was financial opportunism. And then, of course, the political opportunism began to show itself. So, yeah, it's not a big surprise to see that more people you know, hear the siren song of money and power and come that way. It's just that we've never really seen it at this kind of level.
Lee Zeldin, who, you know, is somebody, you know, a Republican, obviously, but, you know, someone who is a moderate from a blue state, coming from New York, and used to be at least, you know, somewhat pro-climate, at least not, you know, aggressively anti climate and environment. So really has gone quite the extremist route. And like you said, they, you know, are taking all of these efforts to completely dismantle the protections at the EPA, to change the focus and the purpose of the EPA and what they're doing, you know, to claw back billions of dollars approved by Congress to go out to clean energy projects around the country.
And what's this I see that he's offering a new way for power plants to get around mercury and other emission restrictions? Basically, it's just as easy as sending an email. Am I seeing that correctly?
So now, like you said, they've got, you know, not only are they going to be taking money away from projects, want to, you know, dismantle the EPA's ability to collect data. That's incredibly important for a whole lot of decision-making processes. Want to make it super easy to just rubber stamp the ability of corporations to get around the Clean Air Act and be able to pollute and release these very, what we know are very, very harmful chemicals and emissions into the environment. So instead of following the rules, the EPA is going to, you know, rely on what I'm seeing described here as a very obscure section of the Clean Air Act that, and this is from reporting in the New York Times, that would allow the president to temporarily exempt industrial facilities from new rules. It's in the interest of national security. So they are not only broadcasting that, hey, here's your workaround, they're providing a template email for companies to use and making it incredibly easy to just rubber stamp for these polluting corporations to continue polluting without any kind of recourse there.
That's where we stand at this point. And you're saying, all right, well, Pat, Melissa, that's fine. That's the bad news. What's the good news on this? There isn't any. Not this week. Not this week. I mean, you look at this, and I think the only thing on anybody's side at this point, Melissa, is time, because you're going to need time for Congress to either grow a spine or time for a new administration to come in. And until then, when you've got, you know, Zeldin slashing jobs, eliminating the scientific research arm, cutting the agency's overall budget 65%, you know, firing all kinds of good people out there, you know, there's really not a bright side until and unless more voters and more Americans are out there, you know, expressing their disapproval either at the ballot box or on the streets or both.
And, you know, I do think that, you know, we're going to continue to see, though, the, you know, that the after effects of these cuts when it comes to what's happening with the EPA, when it comes to what's happening with public health, because those we know are so linked. The relationship between what's happening with our environment and the climate and our public health. And, you know, that's another, when you look at, you know, our healthcare here and who's making decisions about it at the federal level, we've got another person who is a Trump, you know, one of those opportunists, making the decisions and knowing that we have, well, you know, people call him RFK Jr. Joe does not like to call him RFK Jr. He thinks it is a slight. He likes to call him Bob K. So I'm going to say Bob K. For my husband here. But we got Bob K. Okay. running our healthcare. Is somebody else who, you know, not only he was not a moderate when it comes to the environment and climate. This is somebody who, you know, cut his teeth as an environmental advocate, as a lawyer, and now is, you know, sitting by and as he runs our healthcare in this country and makes decisions about public health, is sitting silently by, knowing that these decisions coming out of the EPA, the decisions coming out of the Trump administration when it comes to climate, are going to have absolutely disastrous consequences for public health and for people all over the country. So it really is, you know, something that people are going to see the negative results and negative consequences, unfortunately. And, you know, like you said, we don't have a super bright spot here today. But yeah, people are going to really, really, I think, see those negative consequences and they're going to feel them. And it's not something you ever hope for people to experience. But what I do hope is that they will draw the correct conclusion and kind of through line as to who's responsible for this, and then make their voices heard when they have the opportunity, every time they have the opportunity at the ballot box.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about Kennedy being an environmental lawyer, it was work in part for a group called Riverkeeper. And there's this article in The Guardian about it, how this it's an environmental organization that has, you know, inspired some 300 programs around the world. And now for Kennedy to just stand by as the EPA, you know, just reverses all the work that he and others did over time. It just, again, makes you wonder, much like people were saying about Lee Zeldin. Well, were you acting back then or are you acting right now? And that's the thing that, you know, people are trying to come to grips with, is when you see some of these folks come up, and it makes the, you know, the Liz Cheney's all the more remarkable that there are some Republicans who did not drink the Kool-Aid, essentially.
Absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't point out that we have a phenomenal Milwaukee Riverkeeper chapter here in the Milwaukee area that does really outstanding work in this area in Southeast Wisconsin, to help keep our waters clean and healthy, and have done, you know, really incredible work, doing cleanups around the rivers, advocating to take out dams that have been harmful. So, you know, we see it here locally too, that these organizations, really, really do great work. And it's unfortunate to see somebody who had the potential to make such a great impact on our environment and our policy decide to go the other way.
I had no idea that there was a Riverkeeper chapter in the Milwaukee area. And that makes me especially happy for this reason. During the time that we lived in Milwaukee, and, you know, we're going back 30 years now, but I was working at a radio station in West Bend. And of course, you know, it's got one of the rivers flowing through there on its way down to Milwaukee. And, you know, back then they were only just starting to talk about, you know, once again, embracing the river and not having it just be, you know, this unsightly area where, you know, industry is. Let's clean it up. Let's put some trails by it. Let's put some housing. And the Milwaukee River of today is so much different than what was there 30 years ago, as, you know, locales decided to embrace the river once again and put their front door there instead of the back door of their buildings and their business districts. You look at downtown Milwaukee as another example. So at least on the local level, we can say, that there continue to be advancements in cleaning up the climate and the environment where we are, and that these are things that we can keep doing if we choose. There may not be the funding that there was, but I'm really glad you mentioned that group, because it tells you there are still good people trying to do some good things out there.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, I guess that is maybe our good news is to, you know, to be more like Fred Rogers and to look for the helpers when we are in this time of climate crisis, and to know that there are still great people doing great work in every community all around us. And if you, you know, aren't seeing anything happening in your area, then maybe it's your time to think about how you can be a part of a positive change.
Oh, without a doubt. And I, you know, now you've just kind of whetted my appetite to look more into things that have been done with the Milwaukee River, with the River Valley, you know, down there in Milwaukee proper. And, you know, we've got to look for ways to emphasize some of that good news. We got to find it where we can in this administration, Melissa. We got to find it where we can.
That we do.
Melissa, thank you. I think we might have tried to turn a little bit of a page going forward here. We'll give it our best anyway. Melissa, thanks for the climate check. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Out of that segment with not great climate news and play Marvin Gaye's Mercy Mercy Me, the ecology song, but that's the calendar is what it is, and it was on this day, sadly, it wasn't this day that he was shot and killed. It was the day before his 45th birthday, and today would have been Marvin Gaye's, do the math, Pat, 86th birthday. Marvin Gaye born 86 years ago today. Melissa Kay joins us for today's history lesson. A little under the weather, a little tired. She's down in Waukesha County, where she was at the Brad Schimmel party last night, covering things for Civic Media. Melissa, how you doing?
Oh, a little rough this morning, but yeah.
Oh my God.
That was good. Well,
it's okay. Not as rough as some of the other people that were there at the party. It was a rough night for them.
You were in the belly of the beast.
Though we did say, we let off the show saying, Brad Schimmel at least was man enough to concede the race and talk to his supporters.
Yes, he did. He did. He gave a nice concession speech, and he called Susan Crawford and conceded the race. And even though the crowd booed him, he was like, no. We gotta trust the numbers. We gotta trust the elections. So give him credit for that.
Yes. It's weird. We shouldn't have to give him credit for that. But right. But again, we're still waiting on Eric Hovde's room. We're waiting on Scott Walker's concession speech from 2018.
Right? I'm waiting for John Adams' concession speech from 1789.
Well, okay, there was that too. Let's get back to the history lesson. The Fleetwood Mac album Rumors hit number one this week in 1977.
You can try to run away or say whatever you want about this record and be like, ugh, Rumors. It's so good.
Yep. It spent an astonishing, at the time, 31 non-consecutive weeks at the top of the album chart. 31 weeks at the top of the chart. Later eclipsed by only one other album so far, Michael Jackson's Thriller album at 37 weeks. Let's see. Born this day in 1942 was singer-songwriter Leon Russell, who had several hits like this one. But the top hat on my head is all you see, and the wire seems to be. On this day in 1982, Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands. The Falkland Islands didn't belong to Argentina, belonged to Great Britain. War broke out, And it went the way you would expect. And the Falkland Islands remain in British hands. Happy birthday to singing legend Emmylou Harris. She is 78 years old today.
She's awesome.
And, I know. Happy birthday to singer Gregory Abbott. Here's here's his song that he had in the 80s, and then a little trivia about him. I'm glad you picked up on my telepathy now,
baby. You know your name.
What
is
are you
so
laughing?
It's so 80s. Oh, well, oh, well. Hey, we can't afford to get Al Jarreau. Who do we get? Gregory Abbott.
Who I learned last night from 1976 to 1979 was married to Frida Payne.
Oh!
Of the 1970 hit band of Gold that we played earlier. So there's your answer to this morning's trivia question.
Oh, well.
I know. Stuff we learn. One more, and then we're going to visit more with Melissa. On this day, 41 years ago, Steve Perry released this hit. Today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. It's National Ferret Day.
Ugh.
When an entire nation asks, why do you have a ferret? It's National Produce Manager Day, Autism Awareness and Acceptance Day, and as mentioned earlier, Ride Your Horse to a Bar Day, something Melissa Kay maybe did in her younger years, but is now a respectable driver. How did, I believe Tony put something in the comments that you were actually, it was first Elon Musk loses, and now he loses the race to self-driving transportation. If we let horses, you know, take our drunks home again, once again, for a safe ride. So,
there
Melissa.
I saw a video of a bull that takes his drunk owner home.
But it was probably a relative of mine based on that story from before. Could be. Give us some more of your impressions of folks you talked to at the Republican party yesterday.
Well, it was a really big party. I mean, they had a rock band. They had entertainment. Planned Brad Schimmel's band, you know, Four on the Floor is the name of the band he's part of. And
what?
Entertaining the crowd. Yeah, he plays bass.
Of course he does.
And it was a big party, and then things kind of, you know, slowed down and calmed down a bit as numbers were coming in. Although I don't think the crowd realized what was going on because they changed the TV channel.
No.
Something else that wasn't Fox News and showing number results.
Ooh.
I think, but because we had people walking up to the press table going, have any numbers come in yet?
Wow. Are you serious right now with that question?
Again, we talked about this at the top of the show. You got to know when to get out of your bubble, folks. And yeah. if you're at an election victory party, quote unquote, and they're not showing election results, you're in a bubble. Go get your information from someplace else.
Do you have any numbers? Oh, no.
No, Melissa couldn't play that from there. Well, I'm glad that we really appreciate your coverage. I was listening to it last night along with Dan Schaefer and Todd Alba, you know, Savannah Tomei Olson. Everybody else was just
wonderful
work. And you making the drive down from Wisconsin Rapids. How's everything going with the play?
Oh, it's going excellent. Oh, my gosh. I have such a fantastic team. They were good. They ran all of Act One last night without me. I can't wait to hear how it went.
That's fantastic.
I'm doing so great.
All right. And the dates again?
The two first weekends in May.
There you go.
So it's the Thursday, Friday, 7 shows, 7
Noises.
PM shows, and Saturday at 2.
Noises off. And the website is?
WRCTheaterRE.org.
There you go. Melissa, go back to bed.
Yeah.
You were wonderful.
Get
Thank
some
you
tea.
For getting up with us, and feel better soon.
Always good to see you guys.
Oh, you as well. Thank you. We will have Todd Alba coming up in the next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.